Well, this morning we carry on with our series on trying to understand and answer that question, what on earth are we doing here? In our first sermon, you're reminded, we looked at those three questions. Why are we alive? We were created to be loved by God. Does my life matter? God says he made us for eternity, so of course it matters. He doesn't. We're not made from junk that gets thrown away after being used once. We're made to last forever. And does our life have a purpose? And of course, our greatest purpose is getting to know God and for him to live through us. How do we express that? So over the last number of weeks, we've been looking at what that purpose is. And the first week, we were reminded that our primary purpose in life is that we were created to worship God. And that's what we come to do. We come to worship him, not only on a Sunday, but in every day of our lives. We are to give glory and honor to God. Every act that we have, everything we do, is to worship God. Secondly, we are created to be there for each other. We are there to support each other and to fellowship and to be part of a body. And God has created us to be part of a church. And thirdly, we were reminded that we were created to become more like Jesus, that we were to be his disciples. That's our primary purpose. Jesus made us, called us to be disciple makers. But we're to be a disciple of Jesus, first of all. And then last week, we were reminded that we were created for a purpose of doing ministry. But today, I want to remind us of the a primary reason, one of the primary things we were created for, friends, is where we were made for a mission. When Jesus left this earth, I've said this once before, when you're sitting at the bedside of somebody who's kind of busy fading away as life passes away, they don't talk nonsense, they talk about important things. And friends, as Jesus was about to leave this earth, he didn't talk nonsense. He spoke about some of the most important things that we as Christians needed to hear. And we were reminded to go into all the world to share the gospel with others. Friends, we are made for a mission. Jesus came to earth for a purpose. He said in John 17, in the same way that you gave me a mission in the world, Lord, I am giving my mission to the world. Jesus said in John 20, verse 21, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Friends, our purpose is to be the light of the world. Our purpose is to make a difference. In Acts chapter 20, we read the important thing, Paul writing, is that I complete my mission, the work the Lord has given me, to tell people the good news about God's grace. Friends, our purpose in life is to tell others the good news. Now, you can't say good news without starting with the word go. Go. You can't say the word gospel without saying the word go. It's not sitting back, friends, and doing nothing. It's about going. It's not will you go. The Greek phrase there literally means as you are going, tell people. The question is, should you go, or can you think about going or not going? No, friends, the Greek is very clear. It is as you are going, you must tell others about Jesus. The word we often use for this phrase is evangelism. Now, you know, I kind of thought about that word a little bit this last week as I was preparing that. If I were to say you, to you as a church, you know, you need to be an evangelist. You'd be a little bit nervous for that, wouldn't you? You would kind of say, oh, I don't know how to be an evangelist. Do you know how to be an evangelist? Well, let me put it in a different way. If I were to say to you, you must go and tell others about what Jesus, who Jesus is and what he means to you, would that be easy to do? It wouldn't be difficult, would it? Because we all know who Jesus is, don't we? We've all had him, an experience of him in our lives. We all know what he came to do. Friends, your testimony is unique because nobody else in this world has got your story. Only you have your story. Only you have your experience of Jesus. Nobody can tell somebody else, nobody can tell you that your story about Jesus is wrong, because they've never experienced your story. Your story, friends, is unique. And when you tell others about your story, friends, you should not be afraid. When Jesus left this world, he said, go, you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the world. There's a wonderful pattern there, friends, that helps us understand how we, who we must reach, how and who we must reach for the gospel. So who must we reach? Well, first of all, friends, Jesus says, you must be my witnesses in Jerusalem. Basically, what Jesus was saying, you early Christians, don't forget that the first number of Christians were converts from Judaism. Most of them were Jewish people. They had learned how to become part of the Jewish nation all of their lives. Now Jesus comes amongst them and teaches them something totally different. And they recognize, friends, that Jesus has come as the Messiah. That has come. That's why they were singing Hosanna on that day. Because they recognized that he was the one who had come to save them, friends. So the first message to us this morning, friends, is that we must share with those that are closest to us, or those in our world. Now, some of the most difficult people to share with are those that are closest to us, isn't it? Because they know us best. On one occasion, Jesus healed a man possessed by many, many demons. When he was asked, when Jesus asked the demons, what's your name? They said, our name is Legion, which meant he was filled with at least 1,000 demons, friends, filled that man. And after Jesus healed him and he was saved, the man wanted to go with Jesus. He said, I'll go with you. I'll follow you. I'll tell my testimony to other people. But what does Jesus say to him? Luke chapter 8. Go back home and tell people how much God has done for you. So that the man went all over town telling how much Jesus had done for him. You see, friends, the testimony of his changed life was obvious to those who knew him best. Up until that point in time, friends, he would tear his clothes. He would run around in the graveside. He would be impossible to be held down by any brute force. He lived, friends, like a madman. But when Jesus changed him, friends, the people amongst whom he lived could see the change. His light could shine amongst them the best. Jesus, or the Apostle Peter, says in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, be ready at all times to answer anyone who asks you to explain the hope that you have. You know, one of the benefits of starting with those that are closest to you is that if you make a mistake with somebody that's closest to you, you can always go back and kind of fix that up. You can go back and, you know, you can repeat yourself. Friends, you can practice on those that are closest to you. Friends, we are reminded that God does not want anybody to be lost. He wants all people to change their hearts and their lives. Friends, we need to start at home, sharing the gospel with our children, sharing the gospel with our grandchildren, sharing the gospel with our brothers and our sisters. Friends, I'm sure the vast majority of us are here today because a family member led us to the Lord. Is that true? I know for Patricia that's very much true. Patricia has a sister who went to a church. She grew up in a church where it was kind of those typical Christian families. As pastors, we call them hatch, match, and dispatch Christians. You know who they are. When they're born, when they're baptized, and when they die. Hatch, match, and dispatch Christians. You never see them in church any other time. When they're born, when they want to get married, and when they die, hatch, match, and dispatch. You never see them any other time, friends. And there are many people who claim Christianity who are just hatch, match, and dispatch Christians. They're not anything else other than that, friends. But Patricia's sister went to a church and discovered Jesus, brought Jesus back to her home, and led her whole family to the Lord. Through the testimony of one of that family, friends. That's where we start. We need to start at home, friends. Because when we start at home, we can make a great difference. Because, friends, the home is the foundation of society. If the home is destroyed, society is destroyed. It's probably one of the reasons why our country is in such a mess, because so many of our homes, friends, are being destroyed by the world around us. Secondly, we must dare to reach beyond our own world. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 22 says, whatever a person is like, the Apostle Paul says, I try to find something in common with that person. Other translation says, I try to be all things to all men so that in that way I can win some. Friends, we need to be willing, friends, to change. We need to be willing to kind of recognize that people are different from us. We need to be recognized. I heard a story this last week of a young Christian rebel or young rebel who came to church. And he was one of those that had walked a very dark path. He was drinking a lot. He was full of tattoos. Didn't come across as a very nice person. When he came to church one day, his brother, who had always been upright, saw him walk in the church, and his heart just sank. Every tattoo that the boy had, or the young man had, was on display. And some of the tattoos, friends, were not very appealing. They were kind of tattoos from a dark past. When he got into the church, the brother quickly walked to him and said to him, you need to go home and put on a long sleeve shirt so that nobody can see what you look like. Well, the pastor happened to be standing just on the one side, and he overheard the young man, the boy talking to the young man. And so he went to the young man and he said, don't worry, And he unbuttoned his shirt. And on his chest was a horrible tattoo as well. And he said to the man, God has changed me from the inside. I'm not worried about the outside. And friends, we need to become a church like that as well. We need to become a people that can be willing to accept anybody and everybody, friends. Don't judge a book by its cover. We need to become all things to all men so that we may win some. Galatians reminds us, stoop down and reach out to those who are pressed. Share their burdens and so complete Christ's law. James reminds us, real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and the loveless in their plight. Jesus said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. When I was in prison, you visited me. Yesterday, Patricia and I took a drive down to the farmer's show down at Bathurst. We've been here for 15 years. We've been planning to go for 15 years, almost 15 years. But yesterday we had a free day, so we thought we'd take a drive down there. As we were walking around, we came across a store that was full of things that were being sold, you know, old clothing and books and CDs and those sort of things. And I always like to go and look at some of the CDs because I think I've said before, I like jazz music. And it's not so commonly available, so I like to see what's amongst them and see if there's something I can buy. Well, the lady behind the counter said to me, you know, we sell these things so that we can look after our own. She was a white lady. She says, I'm not racist, but I want to look after my own first. I said to her, you know, that's probably the reason I'd never buy from you. Friends, I was so saddened that still today there are Christians who discriminate because, friends, they can't get beyond what Christ has taught us to do. Friends, we need to be ready and willing to share the gospel with everybody. Jesus said, let me assure you that nobody who has given up anything for loving me to tell the good news won't get it back over 100 times. Friends, you can never outgive God. You can never out-sacrifice God. God, friends, has called us to go on his behalf. Very saddened at many of my fellow pastors in the days in which we're living in. Many of them are looking to go to the big and the fancy churches. They all want a big fat salary. I'm quite shocked when I hear what some of the pastors are demanding as a minimum salary from the church when a church wants to call them. When I entered the ministry, friends, we were simply told, be sure of your call and let God worry about the rest. Friends, that doesn't mean that God doesn't bless us. God has blessed Patricia and I beyond our capacity to even consider. But I can assure you, whenever we've ever accepted a call to a church, we never ask, what salary do you pay us? Simply because, friends, God has reminded us of our missionary mentality. We all need a missionary mentality. We all need to be willing to go wherever God sends us so that, friends, we can make a difference for the world, for Jesus Christ. So not only must we reach into the world around us, not only must we reach our family, not only must we reach into the world around us, friends, we must also be a reminder to reach into the world beyond us, beyond the borders of our country. Now, we're privileged in our church that we're able to do that. Sunday by Sunday, you see a list of names of people on our advertisements, announcements. As a church, friends, we support all those people. We can't really afford to. We really need the money ourselves here. But God has laid on our hearts as a leadership to continue supporting others. Because the gospel needs to go out, friends. The world needs to go out. Some have gone from this church. Do you know Bethany Emmanuel at one stage, the pastor of this church, a man called Jimi Hendrix, was the head of the missions department of the Baptist Union of South Africa. Every single missionary that went from Baptist churches from South Africa into the rest of the world, and let me tell you, for a small denomination that we are of Baptists, we have almost half the missionaries that have gone from this country come from just the Baptist church. There are hundreds of Baptist missionaries gone out from this small denomination into the rest of this world. Jesus said in Mark 16, go everywhere in the world and tell the good news to everybody. In Mark chapter 8, he said, if you insist on saving your life, you will lose it. Only those who throw away their lives for my sake and for the sake of the good news will ever know what it means to really live. In Acts chapter 13, it says this, David served God's purposes in his time. Let me ask us as a congregation, let me ask you as an individual, are you serving the purposes of God? Are you fulfilling the mission that Jesus has given to us? Go into all the world, he said. To Jerusalem. How's your family? Do your family know you're a Christian? Have you ever given them a reason to believe that you were a Christian? Have you ever shared the gospel with them? How about our community? Are we a shining light in our community? Or friends, how about the world around us? Perhaps we can't go physically, but we can support financially. We can pray for folk. Pray for those that are on the mission field. Let's make Psalm 87 our prayer. Send us around the world with the news of your saving power and your eternal plan for all mankind. Now today's Palm Sunday. I hadn't forgotten about it. As you heard Patricia say, as Jesus entered Jerusalem that day, they were saying, Hosanna, thank you for saving us. He saves us. He saves us. He's the one who saves. In fact, friends, they were preaching the gospel. That was what was happening that day. They were preaching the gospel. He saves. He saves. He saves. The Pharisees said to Jesus, tell your disciples to keep quiet. But what did Jesus tell them? Can you remember? If they keep quiet, friends, the stones will tell the people that he saves. Friends, let this flesh and blood, let our flesh and blood be those that tell others that Jesus saves. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus. Hosanna, you save. What an incredible message we have, Lord, for the world around us. We give you all the praise and all the glory that we can reflect on that even during this coming week again, Lord. But Lord, help it not only to be a once a year occasion, but let us shout Hosanna. Hosanna wherever we go, because Lord, there is no other name by which people must be saved except yours. Hosanna. Hosanna is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Amen.